Hi, and welcome back. My name is Jack Register, and I am your host for Finding the Zen Within, an anger management podcast for men. Our podcast has a really great episode for you today around issues of power and how power shows up in anger management issues. Look for future guests coming onto our program. Again, our podcast is not therapy. If you're interested in finding people to help you navigate through these issues, places like Therapy Den, Psychology Today, and Open Path are places where you can find practitioners who can help you with this. If you're struggling with thoughts of harming yourself or someone else or thoughts of suicide, please reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. It's a text message at 988. Remember, our podcast is here for information only and is not meant to be psychological services. So as we get into the podcast today, the issue around power and how power shows up in anger is a really important issue for a lot of men, because we don't really think about the idea of power being a visceral thing. But we have some thoughts about this to share with you today. So there are lots of folks who have what some other people might see as excessive power, which means that people use their influence or their capacity or their position in ways that might be dogmatic, demanding, and even abusive to people who don't have power. And men in positions of power may experience frustration when their authority is challenged, leading to an increase in anger. This frustration often stems from a need to maintain control, because this idea is that many of us, when we are in a position of leadership or we're in a position of authority, we have this idea that that means that I'm right and folks just need to do what I say that they need to do. There's also this socialization that men have natural power and instinctive power simply because of being men. Well, these are all just ideas and are not necessarily true. So what I would say to you, if you're listening to this, is if you've ever been in a situation where you're just confused why people are not responding to you the way that you expect them to, power and expectation go hand in hand. And anger typically is the response of many of us whenever this power or expectation gets challenged. There's also this idea of what some people might call entitlement, or I would use expected response. Unchecked power can foster a sense of entitlement where men believe they deserve special treatment or privileges. When these expectations are not met, anger may be their response. I look at this as the idea that for some of us, we have this notion that if I'm driving on the interstate and I'm in the accelerated lane and someone is doing 5 miles slower than I am, they're in my way, right? And they need to move. Or if I am trying to get my cart through the self-checkout line and someone is in front of me and they're taking longer than I think that they should, then they should move. This idea that my expectations of the world and my sense of how the world should operate, and when people don't respond to my sense of how the world should operate, that's unchecked power, that's unchecked privilege. And this expectation is a lot of what drives the frustration, which it also then drives anger. I would also stem to say that in really extreme cases where people take their anger to a level of violence, it's when these expectations are so out of whack that I'm allowed to actually harm other people who do not meet my expectations and not behave in a way that I expect them to. Now, my friends, this is a really important issue, because I'm not saying that anger immediately leads to violence, but anger is one of the major recipe ingredients for violence. In all of the shootings that we see and all of the situations in which people act out in a violent manner, what we see at the core of that is unchecked expectations of how the world is supposed to respond. So what this means to the average man every day is that if you're in a situation where you're constantly frustrated, you're constantly irritated, where it's like you have low-level anger all the time, check into what's going on in terms of your expectations. Check in terms of what are you thinking that the world should look like? Is the world responding to you in the way that you think that it should? That perhaps could be the core of what's actually going on. One of the things that I know a lot of research has been done about this, particularly by Brené Brown, is the idea of the fear of vulnerability. For For most men, we walk around with these suits of armor on that have rusted, but it's the only way we know how to be in the world. And we can't imagine what it would be like if we took off this armor and were actually just the man underneath of it. This notion that we think that other people are never going to accept us if they actually knew who we were. Power often requires maintaining a facade of invulnerability. Men who cannot acknowledge their own vulnerabilities might react with anger when faced with challenges or threats. This is a really difficult mind sort of exercise for many of us. In the counseling world and in the work that I've done over the years, one of the first things that I do with men is to get vulnerable. And that means to trust that you are in a safe space and that you can let down your guard. For many of us men, we are taught from the earliest age that invulnerability and that strength, that armor is the only way that we will stay safe. But that also means that we won't be connected. We won't have the ability to be with others who are important to us. That's a really important point. And I've actually said to guys before, you can stay in the armor, but then that means that there is no princess for you. There is no family for you. All you have is the journey of being on the horse trying to go find the next dragon to slay. And eventually, the dragon's going to slay you. So, vulnerability is a whole other topic that we'll get into later in the podcast, but it is something that many men struggle with in a major way. Also, this idea that with vulnerability comes the ability to express our emotions. Well, I'll say this as a therapist and coach and somebody who's had these struggles myself, emotional expression is not something that's innate. It's not something that we are born with knowing how to do. Unless you actually consider the idea that babies just cry, babies just tell us whenever something's wrong, they'll throw a fit in the middle of things. And then with all the social conditioning, we find that suddenly people don't. But the idea is that many men don't necessarily know what is the actual emotion that I might be experiencing. Everything gets channeled into silence or anger. Because anger has been the only emotion that we have been socially rewarded for displaying. And the way that I think about this is if you imagine two children playing on a playground at around 5 years old, a little boy and a little girl. She gets frustrated with what's going on in the game and throws a fit. We're going to say to her, hey, you need to be nice to the people around you and you need to share. If a little boy does that, we might actually say exactly the same thing, but the tone of voice, and the way in which we show up might look different. A little boy falls down and scrapes his knee. We're going to pick him up, dust him off, and say, hey, you're not hurt. Everything's fine. Whereas a little girl, we might treat her differently. So the idea and what research says to us is that from infancy on, gender role expectation in terms of how people are supposed to show up, how they're supposed to express feelings, is actually something that's ingrained in many of us. And it's something that then leads to boys not having the ability to process difficult emotions and to be able to communicate that in the moment. And for many boys, anger becomes the only way in which those things then get communicated down the road. There's also this issue around hierarchy and dominance. You know, there's this notion that I've heard for many years in my life that you're either the hunter or the hunted. Right? You're either the one who is taking folks out or you're the one who's being taken out. This idea that we have to have a hierarchy of dominance and that I have to win at all costs, right? So this notion of conquering versus cooperation, and that there's never enough of anything, so that means I have to fight for everything. I'll say that in my own experience, that is something growing up in a military family that was ingrained in me from day one. And that led to many, many, many situations where I didn't know how to respond, so I responded aggressively and with anger. When I learned the conversations of cooperation and that there really was enough for everybody, and that I didn't have to be over anyone in terms of dominating them, then I actually was able to take a breath. This idea that we have to be in a hierarchy in the world in order to be able to survive is something that is a social construction. We've agreed to it. We can actually all live together and cooperate together and thrive together, versus the idea that only one kid on the playground gets to be the king of the pyramid. In hierarchical environments, maintaining dominance is often seen as crucial. Men who perceive a threat to their status or position may react with anger to reassert their dominance. We see this in all of our institutions. We see this in politics. We see this in how people show up at work, and this idea that position and title, and I have to maintain this at all costs. And if you're going to take it from me, then it's okay for me to take you out. That's a really difficult place to be in, and a place for us to actually consider that maybe there's more going on here than meets the eye. One of the other things that power does is it erases empathy. Now, I know that a whole conversation could be had about what is really empathy in the world. But the way that I look at it, as a man who is trained as a therapist and as a coach, and as someone who has spent the majority of my professional life being present to other people, empathy is simply the ability to understand and put myself in the shoes of others, and to actually consider that what someone else is experiencing may be incredibly painful, and that they don't have the tools to be able to deal with it, and maybe I can help. It is not sympathy of, oh, poor you, because this is happening. It's the idea of actually perhaps placing myself into their circumstances. And that is something that then changes the power dynamic between people. Instead of me being an outside observer who perhaps might even judge the circumstances by which I find someone, I'm actually sitting with them as if this is also happening to me. Because in reality, we all really are connected, and what happens to one of us happens to all of us. And we are all struggling just to get through the day. So I'll say this is something that I tell people all the time that I work with. No one has it figured out completely. No one has all the answers. And most of the time, we are comparing the outside of other human beings to the inside vulnerable places of us. And when I look at someone and say, he's got everything that I want, his life is perfect, he has no struggles, I don't really know anything about him. And that is a superficial judgment. Empathy gives me the power to say, hey, can I get to know you, understand you, and perhaps be able to identify with you in a more real and visceral way than has been going on up until now. In order to have empathy, though, we have to look at the idea of competitiveness. Competition is not necessarily in and of itself a bad thing, but when competition leads to the idea that I have to win no matter what, we then get to a very different place. Power often comes with competitive pressure, which can lead to chronic stress and frustration where we are always measuring ourselves against who we think we're competing with. This also causes us to be conflict avoidant, which means when something does arise, when there is an issue at hand, we don't actually do the work to figure out what is the conflict really about so that we can do something different about what's going on. This avoidance can lead to pent-up anger and eventually erupt and even become violent. Our identity and self-worth for many men is power tied closely to this identity, and that if I am not a powerful man, then I'm not a man. Threats to this power or status can feel like a personal attack. So when somebody says, hey, you're not being the business person I think you should, or you're not being the register the way that our family expects you to, this is a very difficult place for many men to be, because then the notion of who am I then without the power? Who am I without this position? Who am I without the competition? It's as if my sense of identity is wrapped up in all these things that I'm doing versus who I'm actually being. We are whole and complete beings the way we got to planet Earth. I'm one of those folks who actually believes that none of us are really broken. What we are is that we are struggling to find a path, and that we're just simply lost in the moment. And that when someone is struggling with issues of anger, they're so lost that they're trying to just thrash their way through the forest, trying to figure out where the path is again. And in doing so, they might actually harm others intentionally or unintentionally. Repressed aggression. Men who have learned to express aggression through anger rather than through emotional outlets actually find themselves in a situation where aggression leads to more aggression, which leads to more aggression. Unchecked power can amplify this tendency as anger becomes a primary way of wresting dominance and control. So what this podcast is really trying to get at is the core of the notion and the question, can we live without this idea that we have to be the number one, the most powerful man in the room in order to actually survive? Or can we actually very slowly take off this armor that we have on that is so rusted and heavy and actually just be the man underneath of it without having to have a pretense of who am I supposed to show up as in the world in order to survive? Power is simply the notion of how do I actually enact my will in the world? It's a fuel. We all have a little bit of it. The question becomes when we start to use it in ways that's inappropriate, it's like trying to take all the toys on the playground and not let anybody else have them because we don't know how to use that particular toy. So then that means no one can. And that our understanding of the world has to be the understanding of the world for others. I really believe that what's underneath of power is fear. Fear of losing a sense of self or fear of losing a sense of how am I supposed to show up? So what do we do with this in real time? I have found myself in situations in my own life and career where I had positions of authority. I had positions where I was expected as a leader to act one way, but it went against who I thought I was supposed to be. In many leadership roles that I've had, people have said to me, "You're not aggressive enough. You're not assertive enough." I can be quite assertive. I can help people understand what my expectations are. But when I don't show up in the way that other people expect me to, even though I'm doing what I know I need to do, suddenly this notion that I am weak because I am not willing to confront people in a very aggressive way. I have found that by living in this idea that for me, anger equals the Incredible Hulk, which equals smashing everything, that I try very hard to be intentional with how I show up and to be intentional with how I use power in my life. And because of that, there may be people around me who don't necessarily understand what that means or what that looks like. So what I would invite you to do, my friends, is to just take a look in your own life. Ask yourself the question of who am I separate from all the roles that I have, separate from employee, from dad, from husband, from partner, from brother, from son, from uncle. Who am I in the world? Who am I when I look in the mirror? If I look in the mirror and all of a sudden I hear my grandfather or my father's voice saying, "You're such a weak man. You're never going to amount to anything. You haven't done anything," right? Then I am focused on a role-based identity versus the idea I am a human being. I'm a child of the divine who is here in this life trying to experience something that's going to allow me to grow and to become. So this might be more of a theoretical and kind of big picture conversation for a lot of folks. But what I would say is that power shows up every day. Power shows up in whether or not we get really mad at the person on the interstate in front of us who seems to be going too slow, or we get mad at that person at the grocery store who might just have too many items in their cart and not getting through the process fast enough to get them up to the register to be checked out. Or it might just be the idea of we keep looking at the guy driving the Maserati in the suit and thinking that he has it all together and we don't, so therefore there's something wrong with us. When in reality, all of us are just trying to get through the day and all of us are just trying to figure out what is the next right step for us. So I offer this conversation to you, my friends, as a way to kind of think about how is power and anger connected for you? How is your anger showing up in ways that is directly related to power-related experiences that you've had in your life, when power has been used against you, perhaps, or you've been in situations when power has been used in ways that is confusing to you. I offer that conversation to you today, and I hope you're well. Please, if you're interested in the work that we're up to, check out my website, jack-register.com. We do offer coaching, individual and group sessions. And again, our podcast is not therapy. It's simply meant to be informational. So connect with us. We would love to hear from you and to hear what your thoughts are. On our website, we do have the capacity, if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, where we simply have a form to kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and your story, and then we can get you scheduled to actually be a part of our conversation. Be well, friends, and I'll talk to you soon.